a rescue mission, and then the forces under Jehovah are looking to punish all the people who are evil. And the reason for the punishment has been expounded on. You see, man has great potential. He has the godlike potential. And the potential is the power of the mind, the power of thought, could make men like gods. And that is statement is made in the Bible in several places.
Mm-hmm.
And the meaning of that is that men could create societies from their thoughts. And this point is emphasized. And the point is, if you give men the power to do teleportation and create societies by thoughts, and the extraterrestrial build houses by thinking of the house they want, and then the house is built. That's what they tell us. If you give men that power at the present state of evolution, they would absolutely misuse it, and everybody would clobber everybody else and oppress everybody else.
Uh-huh. It would be called a total chaos.
Total chaos.
And the San Diego and Ventura Freeway coming together.
Yeah, this is what the aliens are saying. They've got to remove the evil people from the society if they're going to let man achieve the paradise that he's entitled to. And that will be the final harvest of people.
Okay, let me see if I have this straight then, because I myself am not religious orientated. I have believed, like you said earlier, that most of the power is in me, that I am responsible for my actions, what I do, and that it's not per se God that takes care of my family, it's me that takes care of my family. Now, that type of thinking, if one were to step into that beam that you talked about, would that suffice? Would that take me up, or would that destroy me?
It's very simple. As long as you remember that man is a servant to God,
mm-hmm.
and that he has to obey rules, which is basically the golden rule. To do unto others as you would have others do unto you.
Oh, yes. That's the rule I follow, but not...
I mean,
religiously.
We're not talking about religion here. We're just kind of talking about a science, if you want to get
it. Yeah.
The aliens are saying the intent is what counts. And they have said that the intent of the goodness of man is apparent in his aura, in his being, and that can identify him. And they're saying that greedy people and avaricious people and killers and murderers... And you know the rest. Those people have an aura which will exclude them from the next wave of civilization.
You know, we were talking about energy a second ago, Bob. The energy
right.
you create when you think.
Yes, and that's what I thought. Some people
Would you call yourself a loving person?
Yes.
All right, let me give you a definition of love for you to kind of stew on, would you? Love is a thought that creates energy, which is in total harmony with the nature, character, and personality of the energy of the Creator. Now, if your thoughts are in harmony, then you are a loving person, because the energy that you are creating, which goes to work around you, is in harmony. And you can change it around just a little bit and say, sin is a thought that creates energy, which is in total discord with the nature, character, and personality of the Creator. Does that help you?
Yeah, I think I'm safe.
Okay, good.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Well, there's and the predictions that are coming in from the aliens are so astounding. I didn't go into all of them. But, you know, in a conversation with these people, with these aliens, they're talking about tidal waves. Not like you and I know them of 60 feet, but they're talking about a 5-mile high tidal wave. That ought to do the job on humanity. And
getting on top of Mount Wilson wouldn't help you on that.
Nope. 5 miles. That's pretty tough. And they're talking about total global destruction in the forms that if the atom bomb don't do it, they'll do it. And you see, those things are so shocking that there's no defense. And the only defense...
But we have a chance to turn that around, we can.
Yes. They tell us that we have a chance by being righteous and loving and caring.
But they're pragmatic, and they know that the chances of that are kind of skinny.
Well, they are. They're skinny because people just have have a streak in them, which is the good, and the evil part sometimes outweighs the good. And we all know what that is. And in the Bible, they talk about that the battle is between thoughts. The battle is between thoughts and principalities. It's not things that you can see, but the battle is in invisible things like ideas and righteousness, and that's a hard thing to define.
And that's where the action is, really.
And that's where it's happening.
Okay, Bob. And with that, we're going to take just a break, get back to you in a moment at 22 minutes past.
Aliens about this, and they said that since good and evil are inseparable forces, that they're created at the same time and always exist side by side. They said that anyone who goes deeply into the philosophy of being good, the satanic forces surround him and tempt him with all evil opportunities.
They don't like you running around being just good all the time.
And you become a target if you're really trying to be good. And I mean, this subject is in the ancient literature, where people are so beset by these evil thoughts that they go off in the desert and become a hermit for 20 years until they straighten out their act and become immune to temptation.
Well, we have certainly a classic metaphor of that in the story of Jesus when he went out into the desert and was tempted by Satan.
Yes, and it will go on and on, because the power of the darkness and of the evil forces is only to grow by the army of souls that they can obtain. And I say, this philosophical battle between good and evil, which is a cornerstone of our civilization when you go into grammar school, I mean Bible school, right from the beginning, the battle of good and evil is laid out to you, and it just becomes a story when you're little. But now it's taken real prominence because it's discussed very urgently from these alien conversations, and I think we have to take it seriously. But knowing what it is, you can take these evil suggestions and evil force, and you can evaluate them for what they are. They're a temptation to make a righteous person lose his belief in righteousness.
I mean, quite often, as you mention out, the more righteous you become, or the more harmonious, I like to use that term more, the more you can expect the flack to be shot at you.
Oh, yes. That's how you know you're becoming righteous,
and
when you get a lot of flack.
And it makes you feel so good when you win, Florence.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, Florence, does that help you?
Do you have an organization?
No.
Private citizen doing a private thing.
No.
Not to sell, but just an idea here and sharing of information. Okay?
So, are you giving an address?
For what?
Well, where you can be by letter?
Yes, you can write to the station, and they've forwarded.
And I'll forward it on to them, yeah. If you want to write Edwin a letter, certainly feel free to do so. Just send it to me here at KABC.
All right, thank you.
All right, Florence. And I have an idea that is a good idea. Mark, on Open Mind, I'm Bill Jenkins, trying to expand your reality box and include another little bit of reality in it, or at least something that you can tumble around in there. And with me is Edwin Slade. Edwin, you had another thought here before we go to our caller?
Yes. As part of the high-tech capabilities of the aliens, they seem to be very technologically advanced on the human soul, or what remains of it. They claim that the soul of a person emits a characteristic radiation, or fingerprint, you might say, and it's beamed instantly throughout the universe, so that when they're on the Pleiades, 420 light years from Earth, they can set their UFO with a dial and tune it in on one particular soul, wherever it is in the universe, and they can head right for him and come to within 1,000 feet of this person. Now, they're in the invisible mode, and neither can see each other. Then they hover there until the person is alone or in a small group, and then they can move into 300 feet, and then they can become visible, and if necessary, they can become visible to that one person to the exclusion of everyone else. And that's the most direct, advanced information I can imagine, that these Pleiadians can tune in on every particular person. And they, in the Bible, where they talk about the judgment, the book of judgment, they say all your deeds are recorded. They claim that this is true because this soul part of the human, which is God, he's instantly cognizant of all your actions and thoughts throughout your life. And it's no problem at all for this superior technology to have a judgment day. That is a concept that is, you know, fought over in this society, pro and con, and there's been endless debates over whether this is just a fairy story or whether this is true. Well, the aliens maintain this is absolutely true, and I just bring it to your attention that this whole game is being played on the concept of an everlasting soul. And by the way, the soul is not destroyed even in atomic warfare.
No. And this keeps on going on. It moves into a different realm. All right, let's go and see what Gladys has on her mind. Hi, Gladys.
Well, yes, I think my question has pretty well been answered. I've been on the phone for quite some time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And in that time, I think it's been interesting. I was interested in the spiritual side of it, whether or not the idea of body and soul was universal.
Well, it's universal as to men. animals have a different form of spirit. In the Bible, it says that God breathed the spirit into man, and the spirit in the Bible, the original word for spirit in a man is ruach, which is the spirit or the immortal part of man. Now, in an animal... An animal has a different kind of soul because the Bible distinguishes it and uses a different word. The word for soul is nephesh in an animal. So there's a distinction, and man has the higher form of soul, and this is the part that has to improve by practice. That is the reason the aliens give for making man incarnate on earth. He practices being good. You can't be good automatically. You practice at it. And when you're good, you graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And you graduate to a higher form. And the higher form is immortal. And that's why it's every goal of every religion to make their members immortal and righteous through understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help you, Gladys?
Yes. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Good question. And Mary.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine. I wondered, he mentioned a tidal wave. Is that proverbial, or does he think that will literally sweep away the people on the earth?
Well, the tidal wave was mentioned in context of an instability of the pole. You know, there's a lot of argument as to whether the poles are due in for a reversal.
Mm-hmm.
We know in the past that the poles have reversed for the magnetic record on the earth. And if it should come again, we're talking about enormous tides, and the aliens are alerting us to that possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yes, we've seen pole shifts before, and of course, when it happens, it's catastrophic. But there are very, very strong geological evidences that it has happened.
Because the Bible says there'll never be another flood. There'll never be man wiped away by water. According to the rainbow prophecy in Genesis.
I'm aware of that.
Were you perhaps a Jehovah's Witness at one time?
No.
Uh-huh.
No.
But you seem quite conversant in there. Some of the...
No, I haven't been a member of any group. I just read a lot, and I read material from all groups.
Uh-huh.
And I just think it's a fascinating subject because the implications are so enormous.
What is your business? May I, in Las Vegas, this is a hobby, and then you have a laser business?
Yes.
Or manufacturing guns, did I hear?
They're sights.
Oh.
They're sights.
Uh-huh, determination.
Yes.
Things, uh-huh. Well, this is all interesting. I have 1,000 more questions, but I don't want to take up time.
I know. I know how you feel, because in 3 hours, I can barely touch on what I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's the same with all our listeners.
Yeah, we should all just remember that the Bible says the whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one, so we can choose who we want to,
well, you have that
what
computer,
we want to be. Yeah.
You have that computer keyboard that I think it was Gladys was talking about.
Exactly, yeah, and we're in God's memory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's all nice and comfortable when we're sitting here in our living room making philosophical arguments about how we will choose properly. But I'm here to say that when a real choice has to be made between the easy way out and a difficult way, which is righteous, then our weakness is
mm-hmm.
revealed to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine as long as we don't have to choose.
True.
Let the other guy do the tough stuff.
How about the earth, though? Do you believe that it will not be inhabited or it will be rejuvenated?
Yes, I believe that 6 days shall I work and do all this, shall I labor and do all the work. The seventh day is rest. And I think the earth is in for a period of rest. Geologically, it's been overworked and abused, and all the resources are pouring out at an enormous rate and upsetting the balance, the ecological balance. And I think...
How could you look at our atmosphere around Los Angeles, Edwin, and say that our ecological balance has been upset?
Well, I can't look around because...
the trees dying up in the Gabriel Mountains.
You can't see the next building.
You need the electric cars.
Well... Whatever you do, technologically, you have to pay for it, and I think the payment is that there has to be a rest, and I think men will be saved as a society, but put back on Earth to start with a very primitive, low-level civilization, like after Atlantis. Low level, but happy civilization, which with not so much emphasis on technological progress, because that progress it will be given to us from the alien.
You mean no cars?
You'll have transportation, but there won't be cars.
Good. Okay, Mary.
Okay,
thank you
very much. Bill. Bye bye.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. We'll be right back. I'm Bill Jenk. Got the intervention of aliens from other distant places into our lifetime. Yeah.
Well, Bill, in the 20 volumes that I saw, you can imagine how much is discussed if we've just touched on a few topics. I remember reading the aliens claim that they are holding Yuri Gagarin, the first Russian in space, that has been reported dead by the Soviet Union to have died in a crash of satellite.
Sure.
But the aliens say, no, they have Gagarin because he volunteered to come with them, and he is on their outer territory colony, and he's alive and well, and he's educating people, and...
Enjoying himself,
and he's absolutely in the custody of aliens, and how do you like that? I mean, I just can't believe this stuff. And, of course, the Russians know full well that Gagarin is taken, and they just covered it all up.
Hmm. Well, that's something to deal on. We have Brian, Don on the line. Is that your name? Oh. Hello there. Brian, right?
Yeah, you're talking about how all the millions of children were missing from the Earth,
mm-hmm.
and how they didn't know where they went, and how UFOs were thought to take them.
It's a thought.
To the moon and then to Mars.
Yes.
I was wondering if UFOs have ever been, like, spotted on the moon by astronauts or...
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have a lot of quotations from the astronauts where they did spot aliens on the moon, and maybe I could read you a few.
Okay.
On Apollo 11... there was conversation between Buzz Aldrin and NASA Mission Control just before the lunar landing on July 20th, 1969, which went like this. Aldrin, what was it? What the hell was it? That's all I want to know. Mission Control, what's there? Garbled. Mission Control calling Apollo 11. Then Aldrin says, "These babies were huge, sir, enormous. Oh, God, you wouldn't believe it. I'm telling you that there are other spacecraft out here, lined up on the far side of the crater edge. They're on the moon watching us." Now, that's pretty graphic and pretty self-explanatory. And in fact, in the studio here, I have the pictures to support those observations. In the book, We Discovered Alien Bases on the Moon by Steckling. He's been a speaker on this program. And you may find it very difficult to get that book, but you could try.
Okay.
All right. We have the address of Fred. It's down in Vista, California. I think he still has them available through his offices down there. Does that help you now, Brian?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
That's fine. Bye.
And we have Don on the line. Hi, Don.
Hi. I want to ask Mr. Slade, what is the Russian reaction to all of this?
Well, the Russian reaction is predictably Yanyaznayu.
Of course.
You know, they don't know anything in public, but privately, you know, if you want to find smart people in any field, you go to Russia.
Yeah.
I've been there several times, and if you want to find the best chess players, you go to a Russian chess club. And if you want to find the best scientists, you go to the Russian Academy. But they don't make public pronouncements. They're kept in the closet, and that's unfortunate for the world. The,
yeah.
The public controlled press in Russia is extremely oppressive, but the people have worked out a pretty good network amongst themselves. And I think you'll find, because of their thirst for knowledge, the Russian citizen is very informed, but he won't admit it to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a game they play there. So,
what I'd like to know, the men in the Politburo, what do they feel about it? The higher-ranking officials.
An official couldn't be high-ranking unless he knew what was going on. And that's true on both sides of the Atlantic.
I see.
And all the people that are at the top of the governments in all countries are dealing with this, and it's a terrible burden. It's a terrible burden to hold the fate of the world in your hands.
Amazing.
And they're just going through a public charade, and trying to laugh it off. And believe me, when they lie their head down on a pillow at night, they have to think of the implications of all their actions.
That's amazing.
It's difficult.
I had one last quick question I wanted to ask you. I want to know if Ron Howard, the actor turned director, knows this. It sounds like a random question, but he recently directed the movie Cocoon.
Yes, I saw it.
And you mentioned that the aliens from Close Encounters were most similar. I saw his aliens looking a great deal like those very aliens.
Well, I want to say one thing in general. In general, the aliens have told us that any pro-alien material that's being circulated in our society was inspired by the telepathic communications.
So
I would say without knowing any specifics of whether or not Ron Howard got contacted, by looking at the movie, which was a competent movie, I think the aliens are working through him by thought control. And they're working through all the great movie writers and storytellers. And I make this
not
conjecture.
All of them. Some of that stuff that they put out is bunk.
Yeah, most of it.
Well, I make this conjecture because on a previous show I said that Tesla, Nikola Tesla, who was a great inventor and invented AC current, always had a spooky feeling that all his inventions, 700 of them, were given to him by some force. Because he was a C student in school, he didn't know science that well, he kept a pencil by his bed, got up in the middle of the night, wrote down an invention, went back to sleep, and did not remember the invention that he wrote down in the morning. But there it was. And he says when he was 80 years old, he says, "Damn it, I never caught anybody by the foot of my bed, and I never had the alien presence, but I felt it my whole life that these inventions were given to me." And I think that's a clue that I would extend over to the Hollywood movie producers and book writers.
Are they using our oceans then, as depicted in that film, do you know?
Yes, they've been reported going in and out of the oceans many, many times.
Off the coast of Malibu, in fact. All right, Don,
thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm Bill Jenkins with Edmund Slade. We'll be back in a moment.
The way that a lot of the communication that's gone on between aliens and Earth people is through channeling. In other words, sort of the telepathic communication that they were referring to earlier. But I want to say that in that phenomenon, when a telepathic communication takes place, there is the individual who is receiving the communications own fears and expectations and excitements and so forth, which can color the information they're getting.
Kind of filter it up, right?
Yes, exactly. And I'd like to suggest to the guest tonight that I've been involved in Palladian contact for quite some time. I've been to Switzerland and to Hinderschmidt Rudy, a number of, a considerable amount of investigations, and I also studied metaphysics for quite a long time. And I would like to say that I really believe that the idea of aliens looking for righteous people and bringing them up and saving some and not saving others is unlike anything I've ever heard before. A basic metaphysical principle is that one does not judge another human being. And to say that to judge an individual as being righteous or not is more of a traditional religious nature and really nothing that speaks to metaphysics. Metaphysics say that the individual has ultimate total control of themselves and their lives and that they're, in fact, themselves the creator. I really think that your guest ought to check more into the basics of metaphysics and how they would apply to this alien communication, because I think there's, without a doubt, the communication is taking place, but I think that filtering is something needs to be considered.
Greg, we have just a few seconds. I want to let Edmund respond to that, if you will.
Well, yes, that's an appropriate criticism. But when all these people are checked out, they generally have the same story, and the story is consistent. I'd like to say, how do you know you're talking to an alien? Well, we've worked out a test for it. You just get behind the alien, and you think hard, and you say, turn around, you alien. But you don't say it, you think it. And when they turn around and say, yes, what do you want? You've got an alien on your hands.
Well, Greg, I wish we had more time to get into your question. It was a good probing one, and I wish we could, but our time is all done. We'll talk about it again. Thank you, Edmund Slade, for dropping in on us. Tomorrow, or next week, the world of the psychic. We'll have a bunch of them here for you.
Happy celebration, 25.